Gemara on the top of Nun Gimel Aleph, two lines down, Tanu Rabbanon. Well, the Gemara really first quotes from the Mishnah, Chasidim Vanshei Maisa. The Chasidim Vanshei Maisa, the Mishnah told us, were dance Lefnem. We said there are three approaches who they're dancing in front of Levim, in front of Klai Yisrael, in front of perhaps even those large menorahs. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, Yesh Mehem Omrim. So there are those who are of the opinion that what were the tishbachos that were being said when they were dancing? Some said that Omrim Asher Yildosenu, praiseworthy is our childhood. Shel Baisha as Ziknosenu, that doesn't embarrass our old age, meaning that we were Yasher, we were taller when we were younger. And you don't have to say that. Rashi says it clearer than I'm going to say. Rashi, two lines down, Shelo Baisha, Shelo Avarnu Aveira Yildosenu, that we thank the Hashem, praiseworthy that we would not violate any Aveira when we were younger. So not to embarrass us when we're older. So a person says, oh, look at that person. Remember when he was 15, what he used to do? So Ashrei is beginning to end. That was the praise they would give Hashem. Elu chasidim v'anshei ma'isa. That's who the ones picked out, chasidim. It wasn't people who were Bali Tshuva. It was people who were Torah from beginning to end. The Yesh Mehen Omim, others would say praise as follows. Ashrei ziknosenu shekapara es yaldusenu. Praiseworthy is our old age that served as a kapara for our young age. When we were younger, we weren't the best. We were a little bit wild, not so yashra in the path of Hashem. But thank Hashem that we were able to come back and do tshuva. So elu bali tshuva, that refers to bali tshuva. So two different groups of people here. Ve'elu omrim ashrei mishalachata u'mishachata yashra v'imcholo. And then both together in unison say, praiseworthy is that person who never sinned at all, and praiseworthy is that person who sinned and then has been granted mechila. I always like to point, not always, but I like to point out often, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that there are few tzaddikim in this world who never sinned at all. And two of them are Yishai and Amram. So of course they're great, but who is greater? Their children, David and Moshe. David and Moshe are not on the list of people who never sinned, they did sin. Obviously it's very praiseworthy to never sin, we never advise anybody to sin, but sometimes to become a great leader, you have to take the risky move of some sort to be a leader, and do tshuva on that. Sometimes that creates a better product than the person who was tzaddik the whole life. And a person who's tzaddik the whole life, we're obviously not a bad thing at all, but sometimes coming along with success requires some risk as well. Okay. The Gemara says, now, Tanya, Amru Allah al Hillel Hazakin, they said about Hillel, Kishahaya Samech v'simchas Beis Shoeva, when he was so happy about the Beis Shoeva, Amru Amar Kain, who says as follows, Im ein ani kan hakol kan, if I'm here, then everything's here. V'im ein ani kan mikan, and if I'm not here, who is here? So, Rashi explains that this is not him talking, but it's really him talking b'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, if I'm here, so everything's here, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, that I want this bias. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi is going to say it clear. Also, then I'm going to say it. Rashi, three lines from the top, says, Im ein ani kan, sorry, Im ani kan v'hakol kan. Dorish hayel rabim. Hillel will say this in public, shelo yichat, shelo yichtu. The person shouldn't sin. B'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say as follows. Im ani kan, Hashem says, if I'm here in the base of Mikdash, hakol kan, everything's here. Kol zman shani chafet v'bayis hazeh, as long as I want this base of Mikdash to be up, v'shichanti b'shur bo, and my shechina is going to be, shechinasi shur bo, then my shechina is going to be resting here, yekvod ukayim, my kavod is going to be in place. V'yavog hakol kan, everybody's going to come here. V'im techtu, if you're going to sin, v'asalek shechinasi mi'yavog kan, if I remove my shechina, who's going to come here? So that's what Hill would say in order to be mechadik the klal that they shouldn't sin. And then the Gemara says further, Huaya Omer, Hill would also say, Huaya Omer Kein, Lamakom Shani Ohev Sham Raglai Molichos. The place where I love, my legs will take me to. Molichos Olas. Talking Hashem is again talking. Hill is speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you come, if Klai Yisrael comes to here, I will come also to the house, the Beis HaMikdash. And im atalosavo, if you don't come to the Beis HaMikdash, I'll beisi, I need love, then I will not come, I will not come to your house. I miss, let's do that again, sorry. Im tavo el beisi, if you come to my house, the Beis HaMikdash, ani avo el beisecha, I'm going to go to your house. Im atalosavo el beisi, if you do not come to my house, you don't come to the Beis HaMikdash, then ani lo avo el beisecha, then I will not go to your house. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say. Shenemar ubechol hamakom asher azkir shemi, wherever, any place you mention my name, avolecha ubrechticha, I'm going to come and bless you. So afu ra, so Hillel, knowing how this worked, so ra galgolas achas, he saw a skull that was shetzof al pnei ha'mayim, that was floating on top of the water. So Amrlei, so he says to the skull, al de'atfa ta'atfucha, on the fact that you had killed someone, you yourself got killed, the fact that you had caused tests in Aramaic switches with a tzadi oftentimes. So tzafata, that you caused somebody else's skull to be floating. In other words, you murdered someone and had threw his body into the river. So did this happen to you? Midah k'neged midah, everything comes around. What goes around comes around. Umatifcha yitufin, and the person who had caused your head to be floating in the river, the same thing is going to happen to him in the future. So these are some of the statements that Hillel HaDakin was known to be said. And the Mefarshim point out, whenever you have the Lashon of Hu Haya Omer, the Pirkei Avos is filled with Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya Omer wasn't simply a statement they would say, that they said. Hu Haya Omer defined who they were, what they represented. It wasn't just stam a statement. This was like what their particular midah was. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Raglohu Debar Inish, the legs of a person, Inun Arvin Bey. They are the Arvin, the Arevis, the creditor, right, for themselves. La Aser de Mitve Taman Movilin Yase. So after that they claim them, Rashi really says, really after the place where it's been destined to have them killed, the legs are going to take them there. So the legs are basically the ones who are, wherever they take you, there's a certain destiny you're expected to go to a place and certain things are going to happen. The legs are really what controls the body to a certain extent. So the legs are basically part of destiny, it seems. So the Gemara tells an interesting story now. Hanu Tarti Kosha Davakai Makami Shlomo. There are two Kushim who served in front of Shlomo HaMelech. Alichraf V'Achya Bnei Shisha Sofrim De Shlomo. So the names are Alichraf and Achia. They're the sons of Shisha, and they were the Sofrim of Shlomo. They worked for Shlomo. They were the writers for Shlomo. Havayom HaChadah, there's one day, Chazi L'Malach HaMavis, Davakatziv, Shlomo saw that the Malach HaMavis was quite upset. Amrullah, Mayatzivta, why are you so down today? Amrullah, the Kabbai Minai Hani Tarti Kushai, because today I was granted permission to take away these two Kusham, the Yasri Hache, they're sitting here. So Shlomo Melech was concerned for their safety, so Shlomo wanted to give them some refuge. So Masrul Seirim, so he handed them over, these two Kushim, he handed them over to Seirim, which is also Shadim. Rashi tells us that Shlomo Melech also was able, not only did he have control over the entire world, but he also had control over Shadim as well. So he handed them over to Seirim, and Shadrinu L'mechuz Adulus, and he sent them off to a city where the Melech HaMavis would not have any shlita over, would have no control, Gemara Tota tells us. So he sent them there to go get protection. Kimatan L'chuza, Deluz, when the Shadim took these two individuals to the city of Luz, Shechiva, they died. So L'machar, Chazir Melech HaMavis to have a kafetah. The next day, Shlomo Melech saw that the Melech HaMavis was so happy. Amalei, am I a bidachta? Why are you so happy today? Amalei, ba'asar debai minai, taman shadrisinu, the place where I wanted them, where I was told I was granted permission to kill them, that's exactly where they were sent to. So it worked out well for me. Miyad, right away after hearing this, Shlomo says, pasach Shlomo of Amar, he says, raglo debar inish, the legs of a person, inun arvin bay, lasa de mitve, taman movilun yesai, the place where he's destined to go, destined to die, his legs are going to take him to that very place. Okay. Gemara says further now, talking about the Simchas Beis Shoeva, Tanya, Amru Alava Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. It said about Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Kishaya Sameach Simchas Beis HaShoeva. When you're so happy about the Simchas Beis Shoeva, Hayanotel Shmona Avukal Shaor, he would take eight torches, the Zorik Achas Venota Achas, throw one up, catch one, throw one, Vei Noga Zubazu, and neither one, they wouldn't touch each other. He would be juggling. So yesterday, Rabbi Leibowitz from North Woodmere sent me an email, sent to a few people, that he got from somebody else, that the world record, Guinness. Oh, have a good Shabbos. How was the pick everybody up?
No, I'm going now. I'm going to dive because they're coming. I have to leave at 7.
All right, enjoy.
Okay, mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Right. So it's official. So Thursday night.
Oh, beautiful.
After Mara, 7:35, we'll do Maha.
Okay, after 7:35, Mara.
Because they start 7:05 next week, probably. 7:35 is over.
We'll catch Mara here, saying, and then we'll go.
Well, for once, what I'm saying, right. Because for the people from the night, Harry organized it.
Okay, perfect.
So you met Dr. Verman.
Yeah, yes.
Nice guy, right?
Yeah, he was so informative.
You're crazy, because he's very involved in it. Yeah. Also, he's very into it.
Yeah, very. So I have what to say tomorrow.
Okay, Baruch.
Okay.
Have a good time.
You too. So he was saying, Ray Leibowitz sent me this email from someone that sent him, that in the Guinness Book of World Records, the most a person was able to juggle, most torches, was 7. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was able to juggle eight. Right, exactly. And that's what the Mishnah says, Lo Ra Simcha B'yamav. Anybody who never saw the Simchas Beis Yosef never saw a Simcha, because that was a record. They broke the record. So,
Guinness has to see it. They have to have witnesses, otherwise they can't take the Gemara's word.
Exactly. Okay. No Emunas Chacham. But we know it's true. So, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so that was one of the tricks he was able to do at the Simchas Beis Yosef. That wasn't the only thing. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was quite talented. The Gemara says further, when he would bow down, he would be noit shnei godlov. He'd take his two thumbs and dig them in the ground. And he'd bend down and kiss the floor of his okef. He would kind of, I don't think quite a push-up, but I think he'd like bend down. You know, like we try to touch our toes. We could barely touch our toes. He'd bend down, leaning onto his thumbs, kissing the feet, but his back completely arched over, which seems to be pretty difficult to do. That's another thing he would do to entertain the people at the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Then, right, and the Gemara says, V'ein kol bria yichol lasos kein, no one else is able to do such a thing. So he did two things that were pretty impossible to be done. Eight torches and the bowing down. V'zuhi keda, and this is what keda, when the pasuk uses the lashon of keda, that's what keda means. Keda is a form of bowing down. There's different types of bowing downs. One of them is this type of bowing that was very difficult to do. So the Gemara says, Levi, there's a story the Gemara talks about several times throughout Shas. Levi achoy keda, Kamei de Rebbe. Levi was trying to show people, display how a keda should be done. When he attempted to do this in front of Rebbe, he hurt his leg, and he had a limp. And v'hagarmala, is this what caused it? By him trying to show what a keda was, that's what caused him to have this limp now? V'ha'amar Rebbe Elazar, didn't Rebbe Elazar say, li'olam al yatiach adam dvarm klapei mala? A person should never say things... How do they interpret the word hetiach here? Yisro. They shouldn't throw things at l'shemaim. Cast,
I guess. Like a
just don't
cast upward.
Don't cast anything. Don't throw anything upwards. I thought it was a figurative statement of throwing, but never throw anything.
Yeah, I guess cast like a fishing rod. You uh-huh. Cast the rod.
So don't throw anything up l'shemaim. Okay. So why? Because don't cast anything upwards. Kabe malam sharei olam gadol. There was a great person who once threw things, cast something up to Shemaim, towards the above, Vitla, and he became limp from this. Umanu, and who was his Adam Gadol Levi? So we see Levi became limp because of the throwing something up to Shemaim, not because he tried showing the Kedah. So the steer in the story is what caused him this limp in the leg. So Gemara says, Havaha Garmulay, they both caused it. It's actually a combination of both of them. So Levi have a metal kamid Rebbe, bitamne sakini. Levi would walk in front of Rebbe with eight knives. Okay, I guess you're just holding eight knives in his hands, I guess.
Says he would. It doesn't say it. It says he would juggle it, but it's not the. Uh-huh. He's not translating any words.
Okay. So walking with eight knives is not such a feat. So probably doing something a little more than just holding the knives. So I guess he was juggling the eight. Okay, so that's how we interpret it. And then Shmuel Kame Shavar Malka, Shmuel in front of Shavar Malka, in front of the Persian king, Rashi tells us, Bitamne Mazge Chamra, he would juggle eight cups of wine. That's pretty hard to do. Okay, I've seen people like take a cup of soda and put a string around it and like, twirl it around. And
well, with, that's just centrifugal.
Exactly, right. So eight of them, you do eight of them is harder. We have what to work on for the next scene. Abaye kame de Rava betamne beya, he would juggle eight eggs, v'amrile barba bey, other would say four eggs, and they wouldn't break, because if they broke, what was the big chiddush? So he had eight eggs, and probably they were not cooked eggs, because if they are hard-boiled, probably a little bit easier. So then the Gemara says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shub and Chananik, Shainu Smechem Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when we were rejoicing in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lo Reinu Shina Beinenu, we didn't see any sleep.
Oh, by the way, he says that there's a reason why both Levi and... Shmuel and Abaye, why before... Oh, Abaye was before Rabbah. The others were in front of Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
They was intimating that because of their merit... That the knives wouldn't, the Jewish people would be unharmed, and things like that.
Interesting. I guess why don't we apply the case the Gemara says in Samchan al Nes? You shouldn't do things just because a God goes there. You shouldn't do things to rely on a Nes. It seems pretty miraculous to throw 8 knives up and not get injured. But I guess that's the point they're saying in front of. I would say maybe because the Gemara told us earlier that the Chachamim would dance in front of the Lefneim, and one of the opinions were in front of the Chacham. No, the Chachamim were dancing in front of whom? In front of Klai Yisrael, Levi, or no? It doesn't make sense. Okay. So that's what they're saying, particularly in front of who it was in front of, because it was near Zechus and nobody got injured. Okay. So then the Brisa says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Kishayinu Smechim Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when we were rejoicing in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lo Ra'inu Shina Be'inenu, we didn't, no sleep fell upon our eyes, we stayed awake the whole time. So the Gemara says, what exactly was the whole routine? The day went by, what was the daily schedule? So Ketzad, Rishon, the first hour, Tamid Shal Shachar, they bring the Tamid. Misham L'Tfila, then they would daven Shachris. Misham L'Karban Mosaf, then they bring the Karban Mosaf. Misham L'Tfila Samusaf, and then they daven the Mosaf. Misham L'Beis HaMedrash, they go learn a little bit. Misham L'Achil V'Shisya, then they have some Suda. Misham L'Tfila Samuncha, then they go daven. Misham L'Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim, then they'd offer the Karban Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim. Mikan V'Elech, from here on in, L'Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Then they'd go celebrate Simchas Beis HaShoeva that evening. So Gemara says, how is it possible that no Shina fell upon their eyes for those 7 days, or really 6 days, from the Chol Moed, the 6 days of Chol Moed Sukkot, how they never sleep? Eini v'halma Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us? Shvua shelo ishan shlosh yamim, malkin oso, yashin la'alta. A person makes a shvua. I swear, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. We know it's impossible for a person not to sleep for 3 days, so we give him lashes for violating that shvua, because we know it's inevitable, it's going to happen. Even with all the caffeine in the world, you're not going to be able to stay up for 3 straight days. We give him lashes and we make him sleep right away. So how is it possible for 6 days that they're able to not sleep at all? The Gemara says, Ela hachi kamar, lo ta'amnu tam shena, davu menamne akas v'dehadade. They didn't really taste sleep. They would like lean on each other's shoulders and like kind of doze off, but not real sleeping. So it was enough Z's they could get from just staying awake, but it wasn't really full sleeping. And this answers another Gemara. The Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the Kohanim Levim, who would watch over the Beis HaMikdash at nighttime, you're not allowed to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't even sit down in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara. So they say that they weren't sleeping. They were dozing off. They were in the Namnim, and that would be permitted to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara now, Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos, there were 15 stairs that went from the Ezras Noshim to the regular Azara. So the Gemara says, Amr Le Rav Chista Lahum Yad Rabbanan. Rav Chista said to the particular Talmud, the Havi Kimsad Agadta Kamei, that would learn Agadta in front of him. So Amr Le Shemilacha Hani Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos connected me, Amr and David. So this person was a Baki in Agadta. It's like a person was a Baki in Chasidus. So he asked him, so what's Pshat in the 15 Ma'alos? Why Dafka 15? Everything in the Beis HaMikdash, everything is for a reason. What was the 15 connected me? So, well, the truth is, the 15 stairs we know already is connected to the 15 Shira Malises that David wrote. The real question is, why did David Melch write the 15 Shira Malises that, in the end, the 15 stairs were connected to those 15 Shira Malises? So the Gemara says, Amar Le Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught me once, B'shah Shekara David Shisin. When David was digging the hole below the base, the Mizbech, which is called Shisin, when he's busy building it, so Rashi points out, he either holds that, not like the Gemara that told us, the Gemara said that the Shishin was always there from the creation of the world, that this opinion thinks it was not there from creation of the world, or he holds it was there from the creation of the world, but it was kind of sealed up with rocks, so he had to remove all the rocks from there to build the Shishin. Now, as he was making the hole, the Shishin, below the Mizbeach, Kafa Tehoma, a large gush of water came flowing out, up, Ubay L'mishif al-Alma, wanted to destroy the whole world like the Mabul. So Amar David said, Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos, he said, Shira Ma'alos. V'horidan, and it went back down. So Gemara says, Ihachi, Chamesh Asrei Malos, Yordas Mibale. He didn't want Malos, he didn't want the water to go up, he wanted the water to go back down. So he should have said, Shir Yordas, it should have been the Nusach of the Pasuk. Why Shir Malos? So Amalei, Hol V'adarchtan, Hachi, since I said this, let me mention something else to you. And everything will hopefully come full circle and explain. Hachi Edmer, this is what I meant to say to you. When he dug the shisin below, this gush of water came flowing up from below. Ubay the mishtaf al-alma, wanted to destroy the entire world. Amr David says, shame rather, is does anybody here know if I'm allowed to write on a piece of a chasp, a piece of earthenware, the shame Hashem, v'nishtei b'toma u'manach, and throw it deep inside this hole, and hopefully through shame Hashem, it will prevent the waters from coming out. Lekka the kamar le'midin, nobody responded. No one wanted to talk in front of David HaMelech, who had the chutzpah to speak in front of David HaMelech. So Amar David called the other lememar. Anybody who knows the answer, ve'ein omer, and doesn't say yichanich will groan, is going to choke. So nach Achitofel kavachomer. So Achitofel made the following kavachomer, ba'atzma on his own. Ma lasos shalom bein ish leishto Amar Torah shmi. So just like when it comes to making peace between husband and wife, the Torah says shmi my name. Hashem says shenichta b'kedusha that my name, which is kadosh, of course, yimcha al hamayim, is going to be erased when you put it into the waters for the Mesota. I'm allowing my name, my Kedusha's name, to be erased. Torah, Al-Maim, Lasa Shalom L'chol Olam Kulo, in order to create Shalom for the entire world, because the world was in danger now with this gush of water coming out of the Shishim, Alachas Kama Kama, is it not a Kavachomer that my name should be thrown in there, should be erased in order to save the entire world? Samarlay Shari, so therefore it's permitted, Shari, you could do it. So David goes ahead and cuss of shame. He writes the name Achaspa on a piece of earthenware, a piece of pottery. Vishadi Latoma, he throws it down into the Shishin, all the way down. Venachis Toma, Shisr Alfe Garmide. So it rested, it went back down 16,000 amos, 16,000 garmide, I'm not sure the exact measurement, but 16,000 something, pretty far down, below the ground. Kichazad Nachas Tuva, when David saw that it went down so far, Amar Kama de Midle Tve, Mirtav Alma. So it's going to be so hard to draw water back up now. It's so far below, and we need the water. The fruits need the water to grow. If the water is so below, then the soil is not going to be rich enough and moist enough for things to grow. So what did he do? So he had to bring the water back up, but without it destroying the world, but close enough above the ground. So Amar, so therefore, that's when David said, Chamesh Asar Malos. That's why he said 15 Sher Malos is the Aski Chamesar Alfe Garmide. So it went up 15,000 Garmide, Vokmim Alfe Garmide, and it was 1,000 Garmide below the ground. Because remember, it went down 16,000 Amos. He brought up with 15 Sher Malos, brought up 15,000, leaving 1,000 Garmide between the top of the ground and where the water was below. And the Gemara says, Amar Ula Umul says, from this whole story we learn, Shma Mina, Sumcha de'ara alfe garmide. That I guess the ground, like the thickness of the ground from the ground until the water you hit below, is 1,000 garmide thick. V'achazina de karina and porza v'nafki. Don't we see dafki maya? Don't we see certain areas you could dig below and you find water before you hit to the 1,000 garmide mark, whatever that amount is. So Amar Rav Misharsha Hahu Misulma de Pras. Now, when you dig, this is the Gemara is talking about in Bavel. When they dug in Bavel, they all had to only go so deep, and they found water. That's because underneath the Bavel, there was the Pras River. The Euphrates River had a little underground canal that went below it. That's what you were touching upon when you dug. But the rest of the world, where there's no canals, no rivers below the ground, it would take 1,000 garmide till you hit the water below. Okay, interesting Gemara. Now, I think they point out, the other Gemara says that even though Achitofel was the one who made the Kal Vachomer, remember David said anybody who knows and doesn't say it is going to get choked. So even though Achitofel gave the answer, once a tzaddik says something, it's going to happen to you anyways, even though the Tanai never works out. In the end of the day, Achitofel ended up dying through strangulation. Okay. The other Gemara says, this is the first word line down, Amdu Kohanim B'Shar Ha'Elyon Sheyored. So the Mishnah told us that the whole procession of bringing the Nisach HaMayim from the spring below, so they enter into the Shahar Mayim, which was the southern gate, and then they go up a few steps, and then the Kohen would blow the Chatzotos, and they go up a few more steps. So the Mishnah told us that, try to get the line here, Higiu L'mala Asir, so they got to the 10th step, Tiku, Veriu, Vitiku, and they blew the shofar, and then he went up the rest of the steps. So Gemara has the following Shiloh. By Rabbi Yirmi asked, L'mala asiris danichis chamisha v'ka asara? O Dilma, d'nachis asara v'ka ya chamisha teku. when they set the tenth, did he mean the tenth from the top or the tenth from the bottom? Was it going up and they hit the tenth and they have five more to go? Or did it mean really they hit the fifth one, they had ten more to go? That was the question Rabbi Yirmiyahu had. He wasn't sure which exact step he was standing on when they made these tekiah, true tekiah, and they were end off with a take without really sure themselves which step. Did it mean the fifth one or the tenth one going from the bottom? 10 left or 10 that he already went up 10 steps, or he has 10 steps more to go? That was a suffix, but never answered. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa quotes, Mimashma Shenemar Ufneim Kedma. The fact that the Pasuk tells us in Yechezkel that they're facing the east, so is it not obvious that their backs were to the west? And that's pretty simple to understand that. So what's the Pasuk telling us? That their backs were to the west, to Heicha Hashem. So Elamatam Elomer Achorim El Heicha Hashem, that their backs were towards the Heicha. They'd basically be defecating towards the Heicha Hashem. Not only would they turn their backs, but they'd obviously be doing something quite disgusting to the Heicha Hashem. And that's when the end of our Mishnah told us that our fathers and our forefathers, not forefathers, but our some of our grandparents before the Avos would do bad things, and their backs were to the Heicha, they'd be doing disgusting things. But we were turned around and we're facing the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're facing the Heicha, and we're praising the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're thanking the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara quotes from the last line of the Mishnah, Anu lei v'lei einenu. We are to him, to Hashem, and Hashem, to him, Hashem, are our eyes. So, Eini, are you really allowed to say this? It's double lashon, right? Because the Mishnah said, I think it said it twice, right? Let's see. I guess anu lekar, so we are Tashem and Tashem is our eyes, is really a double lashon. And the Gemara says, V'hamar Rabbi Zeir, doesn't Rabbi Zeir teach us in the Gemara in Brachos, and also in the Gemara Megillah, Kol ha'omer shema shema, kilu omer modim modim. Anybody who repeats shema twice is as if you're saying modim modim, and the Mishnah tells us in Brachos, Daf Lamed Gimel, that person says modim twice, you're mishatkin, so we acquired him, because it appears as if he's davening to two rishios, so two different gods, chas v'shalom. So therefore, just like you can't say modim twice, and you can't say shema twice, so too you shouldn't be able to say, anu l'ka, u'l'ka imenu. We are to this God, and we are to this God. So Gemara says, no, elahachi amri, this is what they used to say, hema meshach v'mekeima, that our great-great-grandfathers were bowing down to the east, to the sun, vanu l'ka, we are to God. And then, v'enenu l'ka mechalos. So, what does lashon mechalos mean here?
Expecting,
okay. So they were saying two, Rashi points out, there are two different statements here. It's not just Shema and then Shema again, repeating the same Pasuk, as if you're saying Shema, the same exact things to two different gods. You're saying two different praises. One praise is, praising that we bow down to Hashem, and the other one is our eyes are towards Hashem, but two different praises, and therefore it's not the same as repeating Shema and repeating Modim. Okay, our new Mishnah now. Mishnah says, "Ein pochsin mesim v'yom, mesim v'achas tkiyos b'mikdash." Never will there be a case where there's less than 21,000 tkiyos blasted in the Beis Hamikdash. Vein mosivin arba'im v'shmona mechol yom, and there's never going to be more than 48 blasts. So it's between 21 and 48. So let's do some of the math. The Mishnah says, "Bechol yom, every single day, hayusham esim v'achas." Standard was 21 tkiyos b'mikdash. Shalosh l'psichas sharim. They first blow three times when opening up the gates to the Azara. Then Teisha lo Tamid shel Shachar, then we nine for the Tamid, the Teisha lo Tamid shel Behabayim, that gives us a total of 21. Now on days where there is a Musaf, Uvim Musafim, Hayu Mosifin O Teisha, you add another nine, that gives us a total of 30 now. Like Rosh Chodesh would have nine. Uber Shabbos on Friday, Hayu Mosifin Shesh, there'd be six extra ones. So in a regular day, without a Musaf, there'd be just a regular Chol Erev Shabbos, that'd be 27. If it was Rosh Chodesh Erev Shabbos, that'd give us 36. What are the six tkiyos you do in Erev Shabbos? Shalosh Lahavdi Asa'am Himlacha, three to remind, tell everybody to stop doing work, get ready for Shabbos. Shalosh Lahavdi Min Kosh Lachol, and three final ones to tell us Shabbos has begun. Now, Erev Shabbos is Shabbosoch HaChag, Friday that falls out during Sukkot, Hayu Sham Arba Mishmona, that's when we hit the max of 48. What are the 48? Let's go through them. Shalosh l'psichas sharim, three for the opening the gates of the Azara. Three l'shara elyon, three when we open up the upper gates. V'shalosh l'shara tachnon, and three more we open up the lower gates. This is because the different gates that were needed when you brought the Nisach HaMayim, for the different gates, you need another 6 more for the gates. So that gives us a total of 9 tkios for various gates. And then you needed another Shalosh Lemila HaMayim, and 3 gates to the drawing of the water had another 3 accompanying it. And Shalosh Agabi Mizbeach, and then when they poured the Nisach HaMayim, there'd be another 3 blasts. And then Teishel Taman Shel Shachar, Teishel Taman Shel Meir Mayim, Teishel Musafim, that's another 9 for each carbon, that's giving us a total of 27 more. And Shalosh Lehavtil Sa'am, when it comes out on Friday, we have 3 for telling the nation Minam Lacha, Tisabdun Lacha. And finally, Shalosh Lehavtil Ben Kodesh Lechol, and the final 3 to tell us Shabbos has begun. That gives us our final total of 48, being the most amount of tkios on one given day. The Masnitz in the Gemara tells us our Mishnah is Delo Rabbi Yehuda, is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Tani, the Brisa tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hapochos Lo Yifchos Misheva, person should not go below 7, Hamosif Lo Yosef Al Shisha Esrei, and the most, 16, very different than our Mishnah. Mishnah says the range is 21 to 48. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only 7 to 16. So, B'maikum Mifli, what's the machlokas here? So, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Tkia Trua, Tkia Achasi, Rabban Savar, Tkia Lechur, V'tru Lechur. So, really, there's no machlokas in Mitzias. The machlokas is how do you count? Rabbi Yehuda felt that each Tkia Trua, Tkia, those 3, is really counted as one unit. So, basically, if you take Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and multiply by 3, you get the answer of our Mishnah. So his range, again, is from 7 to 16. 7 times 3 is 21. That's the minimum amount of our Mishnah. And the highest of Rabbi Yehuda is 16 times 3 is 48. That's the maximum. So they're really in agreement in terms of how many tekiahs are being done. The only question is, how do you count? Do you count tekiah, true tekiah separately, or do you count them as one unit? So the Gemara says, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda was the reason Rabbi Yehuda counted them as one unit, and not 3 different things. Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, you blow a tkia, but you call it a chua. So, based on this pasuk, we see we're interchanging the words tkia and chua. It's really one and the same. We count them together as one unit. And Rabbanan hahu lepshuta lefaneu lachrehu da'asa. So, no, tkia and chua, each one is really meant to be separate. Tkia and chua is meant to be one tkia is before the chua, and you have to do another tkia after the chua. But not to say that the words tekiah and chua really mean one and the same, that's one mitzvah, but it's just the pasuk is telling me that tekiah has to come before the chua. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. Now the Gemara, we're giving more parentheses here. Rabbanon my time of the chsiv of hakia sakal titku velo tariu. So according to him, they have another pasuk we have in the Torah that says that when they got to the point of the Mishkan in the Midbar, that they gather the nation, they blow a tekiah, would be the symbol to gather together, but they wouldn't blow a truma. So what's the kasha according to Chachamim here? Let's see. Let's go through. I think more elaborate further. Asks, if it's one and the same, one long mitzvah, Am Rachmana, Paga mitzvah avid, Paga la avid. So, if you think Tkiya Chua Tkiya are inseparable, they come as a unit always, so how can the Torah tell you to do Tkiya not to do a Chua? They're telling you to do half a mitzvah, not a full mitzvah? The fact that the Torah says do Tkiya not to do a Chua tells me that they're each independent mitzvahs. So that's the reasoning of Rabbanan, what drove him to think that tekiah and chua are separate things, and that's why he counted them separately, giving a totals of 21 through 48. Rabbi Yehuda responds, "Hahu l'simana ba'alma hudasa." No, the tekiah that was blasted for the gathering of the nation in the Midbar, that wasn't a real tekiah and chua as we know it in terms of halachas of the Beis HaMikdash. That tekiah was used simply as a trumpet, as a horn to gather people together. It was like ringing a bell. But it wasn't in its state of being used as a ma'aseh mitzvah or as an avodah. It was just used because it's a very good way of being used as an alarm. So people could hear it. It gets loud and gathers people together. You can't bring me right from that case because that was just a special type of a case of simana ba'alma hudasa. It was simply an alarm to gather everybody together. So Rabbanan say back, simana hu, it was a simon. However, rachmana shavi mitzvah. But the Torah said this is going to be considered a mitzvah. Just because it's an alarm doesn't mean the Torah can't make it into a mitzvah. So you're right, it was used as a means of gathering together the nation. But once it was part of the Torah established it as being part of a mitzvah. And from the fact that it's a mitzvah, and it only says tekiah, and not to do a chua, tells me tekiah and chua are two different things. Okay, so we still have time. The Gemara says, now, we may as well go with a few lines into Nundal. The Gemara says, Kaman Azla had the who, according to who, is the following statement. D'amar Rav Kahana, ain bein tekiya truah of loklum. There's no difference between a tekiya and truah. What does it mean, no difference? Rashi tells us, doesn't mean there's no difference. Of course there's a difference. Tekiya is a one elongated sound, and truah is tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. So here's a difference. The Rashi tells us the very last line, what he means to say is, v'loklum lo'ya mafsig bein time ela kadei neshima. Person should not interrupt between them at all. Take a little breath. You're supposed to take a neshima. You're supposed to take a little bit of a breath and then do trua, but you shouldn't interrupt between them. As opposed to when it comes to we do shvarm trua, the halacha is one, I think, ideally is not supposed to take a neshima. You're supposed to do that all in one shot, according to some opinions. But between the tekiya and the trua, there should be a little bit of a breath, a short one, and then do the trua. There should not be an interruption at all. So who does he hold like? Come on, Rabbi Huda must be like Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda held that the kiyah, true kiyah, is all one mitzvah. So if it's all one mitzvah, there can't be any hafsik. But according to Rabbanan, that there are three independent mitzvahs. There's a tekiyah, and then there's a trua, and then there's a tekiyah. Certainly you can make interruptions in between them, according to Rabbanan. This statement of Rav Kahana is in accordance with Rabbi Huda. The Gemara says, Pshita, it's pretty obvious. We don't need the Gemara, we don't need Rav Kahana to mechadesh that din. The Gemara says, no, we do need Rav Kahana for this. It's not so simple. Because Mal the same, what would you have thought? Afilu k'rabbanon, even the Rabbanon you would think would require there to be some type of a continuity between the two of them. I'm sorry, let's see. So you could have thought Rav Kahana was going with according to Rabbanon. Let's look at that top Rashi. And Mao the same, Rabbanon, he really, Rav Kahana agrees with Rabbanon that there are three different mitzvahs. V'yachol hafsik bein time hafsaka mu'etes. And yes, Rabbanon, since the three separate mitzvahs, permits you to have some level of separation. But what's Rav Kahana telling us? Even though the three mitzvahs, umay ein bein dekamar shel yamtin hamtana hamruba, you shouldn't make a large hafsik according to... You're right, granted Rabbanon hold the three different mitzvahs, but there should not be a large gap in between the three different tekiyos, shuos, tekiyos. And back to the Gemara now, you would have thought, even according to Rabbanon, Rav Kahana holds to teach us not to make a large break, ula fuke, to exclude from the opinion of Midir B'Yochanan, damar shama teisha tekiyos b'teisha shos b'yom yatza. Yochanan's Mechadesh, you could hear nine tekiyos through nine different hours, meaning you could go to shul in Rosh Hashanah, and you could hear one at 12 o'clock, and then one at 1 o'clock, and one at 2 o'clock, and every hour hear another tekiyah, and you're going to be yotze your mitzvah of nine tekiyos. And Rashi points out, why nine tekiyos? Because look at that Rashi, teisha tekiyos, three lines from the top. Ha'amuris Rosh Hashanah min ha-Torah. There's nine, there are only nine you have to listen to from the Torah. Only nine. We have 100. What are the nine? Shalosh l'malchios, tekiyah, true tekiyah. Shalosh l'zichronos, shalosh l'shofros, because that means Rosh Hashanah. You need three for each of the categories of malchios, zichronos, and shofros. That's nine. So Rabbi Yochanan thought you could listen to all nine dispersed throughout the day, through different hours of the day, and biyotze. So they thought, perhaps Rav Kahana's coming to tell me, we don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Even there are Rabbanan who think that each tekiyah and true tekiyah is a different mitzvah, even he requires a certain level of continuity between them. You can't have such a large separation. Kamashlan comes to teach me that no, this Rav Kahana is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's one mitzvah, and not the opinion of the Rabbanan. Ve'mahachanami. So maybe Einachanami, Rav Kahana does hold like Rabbanan. Where do we find that he doesn't go? Imkein, ma'i v'lo klum. If it was according to Rabbanan, v'lo klum sounds like there should be no separation at all. According to Rabbanan, there should be at least some possibility to leave room for a little bit of a hefsek, because of three different mitzvahs. The fact that it says v'lo klum, we don't tolerate any separation, tells us that Rav Kahana must be going according to Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbanan. All right, we'll stop here a little bit early.